Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Good Fight Podcast, Season 4, Episode 5. It's been a little while since I've been back on. In that time, I've graduated college and started working, and I've been really energized, so it's been very good. But there's really no time to stop and reflect, as there's a lot of things going on in our country and outside of our country. So just trying to stay busy with that, too. But we've got a great episode coming up. We're going to talk about a couple of things. We're going to talk about what is really at the heart of our nation's problems. What's the real problem, per se? We're going to talk about what does Trump's conviction bring into focus? And then what do we do in light of the present situation at hand with all of this together? But Brian, it's great to be back with you.
Yeah, thanks, Denver. And you know, we know that we did a session earlier in the year about what do we do now. But I think it'll be good to update, and especially in light of that information we'll share in the second segment about the implications of what Trump's conviction has. So, but let's dig in terms of the heart of our nation's problems. We can name lots of different problems, you know, immigration, the border, energy, gender, sexuality, all those kinds of things. And yet I just see, especially for those of us that come from a theistic Christian standpoint, perhaps we can see the results of what happens when a nation forgets God. And, that I think all these other things are symptoms of that. It's not that anything's ever been perfect. It's a big mixed bag. And so we don't want you to stop listening because you may not see eye to eye with us in terms of, you know, religious things or spiritual things. We can all agree there are serious problems. But, you know, when we do forget God and that we are accountable to somebody out there, we're not just on our own, but he's our creator, and that we're accountable to him. That he tells us very clearly in the Old Testament that there are rewards for obeying and there are consequences for disobeying. And for all of that, there are serious downstream consequences of that. And a lot of times, the people that originally do the disobeying aren't the ones that suffer the most. So it's very interesting to observe that both back in biblical times and then looking at the history of our own country, even with the Great Awakenings and the times between those.
Yeah, just looking at it, to me, I think we're a nation without morality, and that's just because our eyes aren't focused on God. And it seems so simple for us who know God and love God, but we have to bring these people along and kind of show them the way and show them the truth. That's kind of what we're called upon to do.
Yeah. Yep. And it's so hard watching that downward spiral. And I think so many people are seeing that they may not see the spiritual implications of that. And yet, you know, for those that believe like we do, there's a morality and it comes from God. And when we go against that, we are going to see that both in our in individual lives and as it plays out in society. So thankfully that God does show us that at times when people call out to him, call on the name of the Lord for his mercy, then he turns things around. And we can see in the Revolutionary War and other times in the pre-revolution times, the Civil War, presidents, government people, local people, they called for days of prayer and fasting to confess sin before God and plead for his mercy. And when our song says God shed his grace on thee about our country, that sensitivity to him, it's not without consequence.
And we need to pray to get that stuff back, for people to openly pray and not be ashamed of it, for leaders of Congress, for the president, you know, to openly talk about that and to pray in the Senate. I mean, that doesn't happen anymore. And so we need that back, and we need that back bad.
Yeah. And it's interesting to see the examples of even presidents praying. Like FDR has got a very, very famous prayer for D-Day. Speaking of that, the 80th anniversary that we just had, and that remembrance of those brave people. And once again, this isn't to say it's always been a mixed bag in our country. Not everybody is a Christian believer or anything. And yet there's a connection. When you study the kind of a tale of two cities, the Jamestown, a more secularly based thing, and Plymouth, a more gospel based, The results of those two, the way that those two places were founded, are very, very different. And Plymouth, as much as it's been maligned in some literature, quite falsely, if you study the real story, there were tremendous upsides to that, too.
One of the biggest pieces of baloney anybody will ever say is that that our country was not founded on Christian principles. That just means they haven't read any founding document ever. Because there are people in the education system that, one, say that we are not a country founded on Christian principles, or two, say we shouldn't teach it. But it's history, you know, you have to teach history.
And that's one of the things when we get down to our third segment about what do? We need to speak out. It's time to speak out very boldly and clearly and make it going. And just as we kind of get ready to wrap up this particular segment, I love this quote from George Washington's inaugural address. George Washington, when you study him, he was a deeply spiritual man. It's covered up in kind of formal terms, you know, talking about providence instead of God all the time. But George Washington said that no people can be bound to acknowledge and adore the invisible hand which conducts the affairs of men, he's always talking about God, more than the people of the United States. So let me say it again. No people, that includes us now, can be bound to acknowledge and adore, that's worship, the invisible hand which conducts the affairs of men more than the people of the United States. How beautiful. Just so cool.
Yep, that's all we need right there. And if you really want to know what people thought, because back in the 1700s, they didn't have TikTok. We can't listen to what they said, but we can read, okay, and find these quotes, okay, reading books. That's the best way for us to understand what these people really meant and what they were trying to do and what they stood for.
Yep, there's another foreshadow of the to-do list. It's going to is to take some time to study those resources and dedicate it to that. So I just have a question for our audience. So whatever your spiritual state or beliefs are right now, are you willing to pray and ask God for his wisdom and guidance for yourself and for our country? Are you willing to thank him for his rich blessings to us as individuals and a nation? And I just encourage you, just talk to him. And even doubting, he loves people who doubt to come to him and ask questions. And he stands ready to show. I love the person in the Bible that says, "Lord, I want to believe. Help my unbelief." And he stands very ready to do that.
That's beautiful, and I love that. And I would love for if you are taking that step, reach out to us. Let us know. You know, we'd love to talk with you. I mean, that's such a beautiful thing that I would love to be a part of. I'm sure Brian too.
Absolutely. Well, we're wrapping up this one segment. Give us a second and we'll be back to talk about the implications of that conviction that came down just recently. We're back, and we're moving on to kind of what some of the implications are for that conviction of Donald Trump. And I think they're very profound, and I've heard people on all sides of all political stripes, including people that hate Trump, like Alan Dershowitz. I don't know if you know that name, but he's a Jewish lawyer who's very boldly voted against Trump, but he's speaking out very clearly about what a travesty the use of the justice system is. So I think one of the first things it shows is that the people on the left now will go to any lengths to neutralize someone who's a threat to them. The ideas are such a threat, and they are so bent on pushing through what they want, no matter how few people agree with it, that they will go to any lengths to do that. And it's hard for us because we've enjoyed that kind of idea of freedom and fairness so much in our country, and we valued it so much. It's very hard to see that being gone against so boldly. We want to be in denial, and yet we can't. We've got to take the blinders off.
Yeah, it's interesting you bring this up. Dr. Phil did an interview with Donald Trump. I believe it was yesterday. It could have been the day before on D-Day. So the anniversary. And they talked about this specific thing. And Dr. Phil was saying, you know, that these people that are against us on the left, they're very passionate They're very energetic, you know, and they really truly are doing anything possible to achieve their goal. And so we can't just say, oh yeah, they're dumb, they're stupid, you know, we're going to win this and that. No, they're doing everything they can. They're working night and day. And if we want to have any chance to beat them, we have to at least meet their energy and everything they're putting into it. And so if you get a chance to watch that Dr. Phil interview, it's on YouTube. I would do that.
Yes. And he's no flaming conservative or evangelical or anything, but he's got half a brain.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we need to point out is that this is for any thinking person. It's something that we should all be ashamed of for ourselves as a country. You know, look at the biased prosecutor and the judge, the biased jury pool, how quickly the jury came back on all the counts, despite the dubious nature of the testimony and the witnesses. It's just crazy. And they're out for blood. And it's just the beginning. And you think ahead, and even I find myself thinking, oh, they'll never put a president behind bars. And that just isn't true. Okay, I think that's the only thing they can do. Okay, would they go this far and just say, oh, you were convicted on 37 felony counts and not have probation? I don't think so.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And in my opinion, I think that might be their last case scenario where they have to go to if they want to. And they can. It's an absolute real possibility. Steve Bannon is going to prison. Yep. And he came out very publicly and said that the prison sentence, 2 years, 15 months, 30 years, he said, it's not going to stop us. He said, we're going to continue to do what's right. And I thought that was very courageous for him just to come out and publicly say that. He just doesn't care. He's going to continue to fight for the truth. Those are the kind of people that you want. It's incredibly brave.
Well, I think what we're seeing here is some places that we're seeing that courage of some of the founders, and they were a diverse group of people. They were, you know, once again, they were not all evangelicals, and yet they had those bold voices, and each one had their part. And I think that courageous talk from Steve Bannon, and you may like him or to one degree or another, but that boldness is what I know I'm praying for myself for in my sphere, in my voice, that I can have that kind of courage and not leave the consequences up to God.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought it up about you know whether you like Steve Bannon or not. You can say that about Trump. You can like Trump. You can not like Trump, but And I have my own personal opinions, but what I do know, it's very clear to me the distinction we have in the presidential election. Trump is not the perfect person. The people he picks are not all perfect either. But we were able to see the clear-cut difference of what a Trump presidency looks like and what a Biden presidency looks like. And we have the choice. Like I said, I think it's clear-cut, and we have to do everything we can to meet the left, all of their energy, all the time they put into it, do the same thing for our side, okay, and go on the offense as well for Trump.
Yeah. I'm reading a book right now about just the tactics of Lenin and Stalin and Hitler and how quickly they came to power and what they did, how they were able to take over. I want to be in denial about it too, but it's the same ideology and it's the same goal. To undermine that kind of freedom that we have, and to take that freedom away, and there are people back then that were in denial about it until it was too late. But their first thing they did was to eliminate anybody that disagreed with them, and once they had the opportunity. And I think that if Trump doesn't win in November, then that will just embolden them to do that even more. And I agree with Trump that if they can do what they did to him, they can do it to any of us. You know, the famous saying of one of the Russian dictators was, if you show me the man, I'll show you the crime. Okay, if you find me somebody you don't like, I'll find something in their life that we can convict them for and get rid of them for. And that's not what we stood for as a country. And I'm going to do everything that I can to keep us from going down that road.
That is absolutely true. And the whole thing about Trump testifying, should Trump testify, should Trump not testify? He should not testify because he will. And he said this in the Dr. Phil interview. this is, I'm paraphrasing, but Trump was talking and he said, you know, if I said it was a beautiful day, but actually it was a rainy day, I'd be indicted. But that's true. Yep. That's exactly what will happen. And they'll just find any little piece and to go against him, but not just him. It's just to start with him. And if he goes down, then it opens up the floodgates for a whole bunch more.
Well, look what happened just today, Denver, that Sean Hannity was interviewing Trump, and Trump made it a point to say that he did not want to go after his political enemies like they're going after him. And the media, and he said he had, even though he would have every right to. Well, it's coming out in the media that Trump wants to put his enemies in prison, that he has every right to do that, and he's intending it. So that's just a conscious lie to flip that on its ear, despite what he clearly said, take it in the context.
Well, that's the media. They'll flip anything.
Yeah. Well, I think like it or not, Denver, Trump has got to win this election. Yes. If we value freedom, if we value the lives of our children and grandchildren, it's got to happen. Okay, if not, they'll just be encouraged and things will go down very quickly, I think.
Yeah.
So, because with them, tolerance is a one-way street. It's not live or let live. It's affirm what we say, agree with it, and celebrate it, or be marginalized or even worse.
I agree. And I don't mean to keep bringing up everything that Trump's been doing lately, but he was at another conference the other day. He was taking questions from the audience, and this one older guy stepped up, and his question was, he said, you know, I'm from the older generation. He said, all I care about is that my children and my grandchildren get the same opportunities that I had when I was growing up. And, you know, for me, a young person, I'm 22. I haven't seen that much on this earth. I don't know what other generations have gone through. The only thing that I have is to talk to those people and to see what they went through. But through my generation, I've at least seen the Trump presidency and the Biden presidency. And I've seen many steps backwards in the Biden presidency. And as in my life now, as I start working and paying taxes, things are becoming a lot more real. And when I hear these people, I'll say with more experience than me, talk, we just want a fair shot. Housing prices are insane. My friends that I know who are trying to buy houses, they just can't. It's almost impossible now. When the older folks talk about a time when they were younger, I almost envy it.
Yeah. Well, and that's why we can unite. And that's why, Denver, we chose Psalm 71. So, you know, one generation teaching another generation and bringing that other generation along. And we want that for you, too. And I think it's great that we can band together. And there are groups like Charlie Kirk's that are really trying to engage and energize the young people. And it's great that we can be united in that and not be divided over that.
Yeah.
So in a rational world, it's no context. But guess what? It's not a rational world. My pastor talks about there being a spirit of deception. And, you know, I think that, you know, looking at, you know, the way things the Bible lays out, that there is the force of evil that is out there and that we need to fight that. And we have the truth on our side, and yet it's not going to happen itself. We've got to really buckle down and fight.
Yeah. And one last thing before we go on is this isn't just the MAGA conservatives. That's not all that we have. It's not just the MAGA conservatives and the crazy liberals. Okay. There's so many people in between as well. Okay. But we talked about Dr. Phil, okay. Billionaires and entertainers. Either saying they're backing Trump or previous Biden backers are refusing to endorse him again. Okay. So we've gone through this Biden presidency and people are starting to wake up and see all the issues that are coming about. But we can't just divide it into two groups. There's so many people in the middle that one, we need to reach out to and convince them of voting for Trump. And, you know, obviously it kind of gets muddy with the whole RFK thing as well. Maybe that's a story for another day, but there's plenty of people talking about these things. It's not just MAGA conservatives.
That's true. And this, I hopefully this will help some of you, especially my Christian brothers and sisters that are reluctant to vote for Trump or reluctant to vote at all. That's one of the, what appears to me to be one of the amazing things about Trump is that he can draw together these different constituencies. And we can look at the record of his first term. I was reluctant at first to vote for Trump. But now I'm enthusiastically voting for him because we need a fighter. And we need somebody who's willing to stand up there. And other candidates have dropped by the wayside. And here we are. So we don't have the luxury of talking about, you know, who we would rather have there right now. It's a clear contest and really the a good and an evil side that we can argue, that especially in the results that will come down if a Trump victory isn't forthcoming.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, shall we move on?
Yep, let's do that. And we'll be back in a second to give you kind of a list of some suggestions. What shall we do now? Welcome back to our third segment. That last one was a little bit long. We'll try to move this one along, but here are just some suggestions about some things we can do. That's a big question we hear is, what can we do? What do we do? So here's some things. I got this from one of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton episodes right after the conviction, but their guest was saying the first thing, take 5 minutes to mope. And really it is so sad. I'm so ashamed of our country and our justice system that there are people that will allow it to be abused this badly. So we need to mourn the meaning of that and the implications of it for us, and to have a desire that not go on and that not happen on our watch anymore. And so that's a good thing to remember. So take 5 minutes to mope, and then let's move on and do something constructive.
Yes. And the next thing is to remove our blinders. If we still think that things can just go back to quote unquote normal, or thinking, oh, they would never do this, like they would never put Trump in jail. It's not true. They can, and it's a very real possibility. I know I've been seeing a bunch on the news about talking, and all these experts are saying that there's no way Trump goes into jail. And if we are betting people, then maybe that it's not the most likely option, but it's not like it can't happen. Okay. So they can, it's still very possible, and we can't go on with that ideology.
Yeah. Yep. And now that our blinders are on, what else do we do? And I'd say the first thing is be informed. And I just encourage you, carve time out of your day. I'm trying to do that myself, that to be enforced, to find resources to watch, read, or listen to every day. And I'll say it again, if there's one to pick, I really love the Wall Builders daily podcast. Go to wallbuilders.show. It's very positive, very upbeat. You hear lots of different subjects, lots of different perspectives, lots of different wonderful guests. We'll try to put some other resources out there for you, but that's another really good one.
Yes. And this may show my youth and inexperience, as Ronald Reagan would say, but TikTok. Okay. And I know there's a lot of opinions on TikTok, but let me tell you this, Donald Trump is on TikTok. Donald Trump Jr. is on TikTok. Charlie Kirk is on TikTok. Okay. So when you think of TikTok, you may not think news, you may not think all these things. You may just think teenagers and dancing and doing stupid videos, but no, you can customize it. And I have found it as a very useful tool. If you don't have a lot of time, if you have 5 minutes and you just want to get caught up, you can go on TikTok, get some 30-second videos each to catch you up from people that you like listening to. I think it's very helpful.
All right. That's very good. So I guess that makes you Walter Mondale if you're that youth and experience.
Unfortunately. Yeah.
Loser.
I know.
Well, just one more thing about the freeing up time. I've made decisions in the fall. I'm really trying to keep my calendar as clear as possible in September, October. I've been doing some sub teaching. I'm going to minimize that just so that I can give myself for that, for activities having to do with that and talking to people. Next thing, you can give money. Just this week, I gave some money to Turning Point Action and their Get Out the Vote efforts. I gave some money to True the Vote. They're working on election integrity. And I gave some money to Faith Wins, that they're working on informing and motivating churches in swing states. So not quite there and yet to Trump directly or the RNC, but maybe. Well, we'll see how they handle things. But I think it's time to put some money there for to help people and causes that are working in those important areas.
Yeah. The next thing is chase the vote, okay? And identify four or more people that you're going to talk to and follow up to make sure they're registered to vote and they actually do intend to vote. Now, four is just a number. You could do seven. If you could do 10, that's awesome. Brian, do you want to talk about what you can do if people need help?
Well, yeah. And, you know, I'm happy to help with some details on this. But in California, you can be a ballot harvester. Okay, and so we need to embrace that this time. I think we tried to shun it last time, but you can be a ballot harvester. I've got some neighbors I'm going to try to work with and honestly help them. Our church is a ballot collection center for four different counties, and I've got four people on my list I've identified already that I'm really going to try to work with, and I'm hoping for more. It's not like me to put myself out there like that, but I'm really praying that I can do that. The Lord will help me to identify the right people and that it will be received in the way that it's intended.
Yes. Next, we can make a list of people that we know that are persuadable and to start having conversations. Persuadable meaning, you know, they don't know who they want to vote for or they know who they want to vote for, but it's not the person that we want them to vote for. And I can think of so many people in my head, and I'm sure all of you can as well. You probably know a Biden voter. You probably know somebody who doesn't like Trump, so they're voting for Biden. You probably know somebody who's voting for RFK. Those are the people that we want to start talking to. We don't have to just jump right into it and say, hey, vote for Trump. That's probably not the best idea anyways. Okay, right now we have the time. We have the time to start talking to these people. Okay, and by time November 5th comes around, maybe we were able to persuade them. At least that's the hope.
Yep, you may not get everybody. But I think it's good. And just start by asking questions and find out where they're coming from. And then just kind of share your own story of how you've come to the conclusions you've made. Denver, do you want to tell about that conversation you had just today with that guy?
Yeah. So I have a friend whose dad is in the category of a Biden voter, but only a Biden voter because he dislikes Trump so much. And I feel like there are a lot of voters that are in that category that are Biden voters just simply because they don't like Trump. And what we need to do with these people is, look, fine, I get it. I get Trump is not the most likable human being, okay? But we have to think rationally about this decision because it's a huge decision that impacts a lot, not only our country, but the entire world, okay? So we want to encourage these people to really think rationally about that choice.
Yep. Yeah, that's a really good example. And for me, you know, there are some medicines that don't taste very good, but they do a lot to heal what's ailing us. And so I think that's good if people can be brought to think about the implications of not voting for Trump, that might be helpful. Next thing on the list, just pray. Talked about that a little bit earlier, but if this happens, it's going to be a miracle of God working for his glory and working out his ways, but through passionate people who care enough to do what they can. And so just pray for the country, pray for your family, pray for yourself, be thankful, confess your sins. Thank God for his mercy and goodness. Confess the sins that our nation is guilty of even, with pride, of greed, racism, treatment of the Indians, not staying true to our founding principles, you know, all those things. Okay, God just stands ready and willing to hear whatever halting prayers you might have, even if you're not used to it, just give it a try, okay, out loud or in your head. Even if you, the God, if there is a God, you know, he just wants people to come to him and talk to him and just give him the chance to help him work.
Yep. And as we talked about finding people to talk with, to persuade, it's just as important to find like-minded people and associate with them. church is a good place. Sometimes finding a good church can be a difficult thing. I'm in the midst of that, almost 3 years deep. okay, but it's the best place to be. And if you're in a good church, that is a tremendous blessing. I'll say that. But that is a great place to start and find people to associate with.
Yep. Yeah, and if it would be helpful to you or energizing to have a periodic Zoom meeting just to share ideas or concerns and encourage each other, email us at goodfight71@gmail.com. I'd love to set up something like that, even if it's just two or three people, to help encourage and ask questions. We'd be very happy to be able to help facilitate that.
Absolutely. I'd be on board with that.
Yep. And then if God answers prayer and Trump wins, then the really hard part begins is doing something with it, pressing the advantage and making that all work. Any last minute thoughts, Denver, before our final quote?
Well, I'm really energized now after talking about this for about a half hour. I want to go make a couple text messages and a phone call or something to some people. But yes, so I'm ready to go on the offense, and I hope you all are as well.
Well, amen to that. And hopefully you're not the only one. Our quote comes from Charles Spurgeon, and it does talk about the distinction between good and evil. And before I say the quote, I believe in it. But not everybody out there that is not voting for Trump is an evil person. Okay, there are people very sincere, and even not all the players that are in the news are evil people. I do believe some of the people have evil intent to bring down our country, and that's the evil that's happening. And we just need discernment to be able to identify that, but also be very graceful and try to listen to people and treat other people as we would like them to treat us. But here's what Spurgeon says. He says, "Peace between good and evil is an impossibility. The very pretense of it would, in fact, be the triumph of the powers of darkness. God's servants, whether angels in heaven or messengers on earth, will and must fight. They are born to be warriors." And so there is that aspect that, as far as it concerns us, that's the end of the quote, by the way, as far as it concerns us, we're supposed to be to live at peace with all people. Paul tells us that in Romans. OK, and yet the idea of spiritual warfare and standing up for what is true and what is right is also part of that. So we pray for all of you. Keep up the good fight. Email us goodfight71@gmail.com. With any questions or concerns, and hopefully you'll hear from us again before too long. Denver, it's great to have the session with you in person again.
Yep, it was great. I look forward to doing it real soon. And yes, please reach out to us, email us any thoughts, questions, and just a reminder about that Zoom if anybody's interested.
Yep. Well, God bless you as you reach out to him and seek to pray and find out your place in the good fight. And God bless all of us, and God have mercy on us for the sake of our children and grandchildren as we work for this. So we love all of you, and we'll be talking to you soon. Goodbye.
Bye.